60 years ago, the world walked to the edge of nuclear war. Tensions between the American-led West and the Soviet Union nearly spilled over as the Cuban Missile Crisis gripped the world. And we are now again entering a period of nuclear tension in both the war in Ukraine and missile tests in North Korea. Here and Now, security analyst Jim Walsh is a senior research associate at the Massachusetts Institute of Technology's Security Studies Program. And he joins me now to talk about what the past crisis might tell us about our current situation. Welcome back, Jim.
Good to be with you, Celeste.
It's good to have you. So let's start in the present day. Russia has claimed that Ukraine plans to use a dirty bomb that would be explosives that are laced with radioactive material. Kyiv disputes this. Where do these allegations come from? Why make this specific claim? And what might they tell us about Russia's plans?
So first, you always have to remind yourself in a war, a big war, the countries will do desperate or ugly things, especially if it's a fight for survival. So could Ukraine do something like this? Yes. But is this it? Are they're planning a dirty bomb? No, not at all. As you said, a dirty bomb is just a regular explosive with some radioactive junk. It doesn't actually kill any more people than the bomb itself. The radiation is just to scare people, and that's why they actually are rarely used or even threatened to be used in modern warfare. But it might be useful if you wanted to stage an event that then you could use as a pretext for escalation. And I think that's what analysts are wondering about. Is Russia sort of floating this out because it plans to do it, and then to have a dirty bomb then be used to justify its own escalation? Now, the problem is we're at the point in the war where it's hard to tell when Russia is just sort of lying and bluffing or lying because it wants to set something up it plans to do in the future. And I think at this point, we just don't know.
I mean, since you're talking about escalation, let's go back to the Cuban Missile Crisis in 1962. That was probably the most tense moment of the Cold War. How did that escalate and then eventually de-escalate?
Yeah, well, the U.S. had previously put nuclear missiles in Italy and Turkey near Russia, at least that's the way Russia saw it. And Cuba, which had been the subject of the failed Bay of Pigs invasion, was asking Russia for support. Now, I think the Soviets underestimated the degree to which the U.S. was going to freak out over this. They were no doubt surprised to learn that the generals were advising Kennedy to launch a military strike and invasion of Cuba. And I'm pretty sure the generals were surprised to find out later that the Russians or the Soviets had already transferred tactical nuclear weapons to the island, which they would have used. Now, it was all resolved through diplomacy, not threats, not bluster, but more of a, if you do this, I'll do that, and we'll both be safer.
So let's fast forward back to today's tension, and we're hearing rhetoric from the Kremlin where they're threatening to use nuclear weapons because of the conflict in Ukraine. Does that make you hear echoes of the Cuban Missile Crisis?
Sure. I mean, in some ways, the danger never went away. Perhaps the most important and underappreciated piece of the Cuban Missile Crisis is that Kennedy and Khrushchev scared to death at a moment when citizens in the U.S. and in different parts of the globe had previously been protesting nuclear testing, they moved to do something about it. And so for the first time in 1963, a month before JFK is assassinated, we have the Partial Test Ban Treaty. And from there, we get other things. The Non-Proliferation Treaty, bilateral agreements. We went from 80,000 nuclear weapons, we cut them by 50,000, dismantling them. And so it was an important period, and then the Cold War ended, and we just sort of walked away from all that success, and now a slow building, more tests, bigger stockpiles, countries pulling out of agreements, which has brought us to today. So are there lessons from the past that apply? Absolutely. But we sort of forgot those after the Cold War, and now we're facing a resumed new danger.
Okay, so then on the other side of the world, North Korea is testing more weapons and regularly firing in the proximity of South Korea and Japan. How concerning are those tests?
Well, I expect them to test. I think they'll conduct at least one, probably more nuclear tests by the end of the year. They said they're going to do it. They've been saying they're going to do it. Relations continue to be poor. I think what's held them back is COVID and sensitivity to the Chinese. But I fully expect them to test, and I expect that to add to the uncertainty and anxiety on top of what we already have.
Okay, so we have less than a minute here, Jim, but what would you tell world leaders they should have learned from the Cuban Missile Crisis 60 years ago that they haven't?
Well, I would tell them, you don't know as much as you think you do. You're making a lot of assumptions, and if those turn out to be wrong, we could have an extinction event. So caution, not hubris, is the word. And then I would say, don't be led astray. There are lessons learned, but don't be led astray. One of the things that the U.S.-Soviet rivalry reinforced, the Cuban Missile Crisis reinforced, was the feeling that it was all about us. You know, there wasn't going to be a nuclear problem unless we were involved. And as long as we were involved, you know, it was going to turn out okay.
Yeah.
Now we're finding out that's not true. We could have a nuclear war between two countries 50 years from now. The U.S. would not be involved, and yet we could all die between a war of two other countries. So
MIT's and Jim Walsh, he's also here and now's resident security analyst. Thank you so much.
Thank you.